What a great song. Were it not for grace, where would we be? Nowhere. Thank the Lord for the hope. It's good again to have Brother Jose Guzman with us this morning. His wife, Christina, missionaries to Mexico, and always been a blessing to me, Brother Guzman, and his testimony. Going to this particular town he's going to has been one of those towns that has spit out a lot of missionaries, a lot of preachers who have not made it. It's just one of those type of areas. And he may share some of that with you, but just staying by the stuff and doing just a wonderful job there. Brother Guzman, you come on and preach to us in your Spanish-English dialect. You know, we have our own dialect here in Texas. You know that. You know, it's kind of a mix of fixing to and
yes, sir.
Yonder there and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I've always enjoyed Brother Crawford. I've been hearing him preach since I was in Bible college. And I remember him coming back to preach. And I remember him even sitting in some of the classes I was in, I believe, with Brother Stewart. And so it's always been a blessing to know him and hear him preach. And it's a privilege to have you all as one of our supporting churches. And I can honestly say that I appreciate Brother Crawford more now than I did then, and I really did appreciate him back then. But with all the struggles and difficulties, y'all have been a big blessing to us and a big help to us. And you know, when I left, I was single, and I was dumber and weirder, and I left with $700 a month. And I took off. I begged my pastor to let me go, and he finally let me go, and I suffered some of the consequences. But now we're back, and God has blessed. God has blessed us some more supporting churches, and God's been good to us. And now we're in Querétaro. Like the preacher said, it's a difficult place. I had thought about that place, and I had prayed about Querétaro. And when three of the pastors that were there left, God really moved me to go there. God really showed me that was the place that He would have me to be. And the largest independent Baptist church there has maybe 60, 70 people in their church. It's been there for 7, 8 years now. And God has really blessed us there these 2 years that we started the church there. And we thank God for that. And please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4. I know I will struggle some even more with now knowing that there's more pastors in here and other preachers that were not sent to the missionary field. But I want to read a few verses, Revelation chapter 4. And I want to speak about briefly about two things that have been on my mind since I've been on the mission field. Two things that God has put on my heart and has gave me a desire for. It says, Revelation chapter 4, it says verse number 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne, and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. It says, For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for allowing me to be here. I thank You so much for Heritage Baptist Church and Brother Crawford. I pray that You'd bless him. I pray that You'd help me as I preach, Lord. You know that I've been struggling with some things, but I pray that You'd help me to preach Your word, Lord. I ask You all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, verse number 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And it says, For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And when I think about that, just thinking about how God created all things, the Bible says. He created all things, and thinking about how God made all these things perfect. Right, when I was younger, I was weirder, and I remember sitting there and just staring at my hand, and it could be like an hour just staring at my hand and closing it and opening it and closing one finger and opening it, and I would tell my brothers, "How do we do that?" And they thought, "Man, you're messed up, brother." They thought you're weird, and they wouldn't play with me. But I just thought about why the hand is made so perfect. And how does it do that? I would tell my brothers, look, I have my eyes closed and I can still do it. I would tell my hand closed and it would close and open. And I just thought about how perfect that was. And that just makes me think about how God created all things and He made me. He created me. And it says that He created me for His pleasure. It pleased God to have me here. And says, for thy pleasure they are and were created. And says, they are. For thy pleasure, for His pleasure, they are. I am because it pleased God. I exist because it pleased God for me to exist. God decided that He needed a Jose Guzman. Or He wanted a Jose Guzman. Or He needed a good laugh. But God created Jose Guzman. And, you know, it makes me think God could have made another Zio Moody. Or God could have had another J. Frank Norris. God could have had any other preacher, pastor, person. And God created Jose Guzman. God could have made all things. He could have done anything He wanted. When I was a kid, I was saved when I was 9 years old. I was reached through a bus ministry in Chicago. And when I remember going up to church, and for the first maybe 6 months, I didn't have a Bible. We lived, my family lived in the ghettos. And we didn't have much. And we didn't have, my parents didn't go to church. I was the only one going to church. And I didn't have a Bible. And I remember one of the workers finally gave me a New Testament. I still have it in my parents' house. A New Testament, you know, a paperback. And I think it was like a burgundy color. It doesn't have the paperback anymore. But I remember getting that, and I remember how all the teenagers would go and have their Bible signed. And they would have the Sunday school teacher sign their Bible, and the preacher sign their Bible, and we went to a big church. There was maybe 10,000 people there every Sunday. And I remember when I got my Bible, I took it to my bus driver so he could sign the Bible. And I was so happy that now I had a Bible that they could sign. And I remember I took it to my Sunday school teacher, and he signed my Bible. And I took it to the Sunday school preacher, and he signed my Bible. And I took it to the lady workers, and they were signing my Bible. And anybody I saw in church with a tie, I would let them sign my Bible. I thought everybody should sign my Bible. And then my ultimate goal was to have my pastor sign my Bible. And I wanted my pastor to sign the Bible, and it was a hard thing to do. I knew the only way that I would be able to reach him would be on a Sunday night. And there was tons of people on a Sunday night. And so I remember deciding, right after the service, I'm going to run up there and try to have him sign my Bible. And I remember we prayed, and I looked up, and he was gone. And he would always leave, I guess, sometime. And so the next service, I kept my eyes open to see where he was going, and I saw him leave. I saw how he left, and I thought, well, where does that door lead to? So the next Sunday, I left during the prayer to see where the door, and I kind of saw where he was going. And I saw that he had security with him, and they would walk him out to his car through the bat cave somewhere in the back, and I don't know what all happened, but I remember going through the back, and that one Sunday I finally reached, and I had it all planned out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to jump out during the prayer service. I'm going to dodge these ushers and these workers, and I'm going to get around to the alley where he always comes out and try to reach him before all the other people reach him, and just hand him my Bible, and I'll finally have my pastor's signature. And I remember doing all that. I had it all planned. I went out there, and I ran, and you know, workers trying to stop me and ushers trying to stop me, and I ran to the back. I ran down the alley of the church to get to the back to the door where he came out. And I remember him coming out with security guards. And I remember I ran out to him. And I had my New Testament. And I ran out to him and I said, Pastor, could you sign my Bible? And he said, I don't have time. And he walked away. Man, that devastated me. I was 9 years old. And I remember I remember walking back to the bus. And I was just devastated. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to see anybody. I took my Bible. I went inside the bus. I sat in the back. And I just looked out the window. All the ride home all the way to Chicago was about an hour drive. And I remember getting home. And I laid in my bed. And I thought, you know, why did this happen? I mean, that was like the most devastating thing since I got saved. And it just shocked me. And I sat there praying. And I looked up. And I was in bed. And I remember saying, God, why did this happen? And then in my mind, it came, the creator of all things. He's listening to me. And I thought, hey, maybe my pastor didn't even know my name. My pastor didn't even know I exist. But God knows I exist. Maybe my pastor didn't know who I was. And maybe he didn't have time for this. But the creator of all things created me. And he had a perfect plan for me. And he knew who I was. And he knew that what I needed. And he heard me. The creator of all things. You know what? One of the things that I wanted to mention was, I want to be in God's plan. I want to be a part of God's plan. Hey, maybe the world doesn't know Jose Guzman. Half of the world can't pronounce Querétaro. But you know what? God knows me. And God has a plan for me. And maybe we're not a great big church. We're 45 members, but God has really been using those members. And that's the group that God wants to use. And because of His pleasure, we exist. Because it pleased God, we are. We are there because it pleased God. I want to be part of God's plan. There's a lot of things that God has been doing and God's been working in our lives. And there's some struggles, but you know what? At the end, it all pays off. And just knowing that God is using me. And I don't have everything I want. My dad would always tell us, you don't need everything you want. But you know what? I have everything I need. And God's been good to me and my wife, and God has provided our needs. He says, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I'm here because it pleased God. And I'm here to please God. I know I can't please everybody, but I want to please God. I want to be in God's plan for my life. And though the whole world may not know me, God knows me. You know, even from the time I was a little 9-year-old punk kid living in the ghettos of Chicago, God knew who I was. And God had a plan for me. And God has there in Querétaro. Please pray for us. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I want to read a few verses there. Verse number 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 7, and it says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that's one of the second thing that I wanted to mention was just know the power of Christ. I want to know the power of Christ. Paul said that I'm dealing with some infirmities and I'm going through some trials and maybe some difficult times, but you know what? It's worth it to know the power of Christ. To have the power of Christ, says, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. And you know what? Since we got down to Mexico, since I got down there as a single missionary at first, you know what? There's been some trials. And there's been some hard times. And there's now things going on with my mom being sick. And you know, it's hard for me being in another country knowing that my family is here. And I have family members sick, a brother and my mom. And all these different things, all these trials that are happening. You know what? These things are hard for me. They're hard for me. I know God wants me in Mexico, but it's hard for me just knowing that they're over here and they're going through those things. But God has allowed me to see some things through my weakness. I have been able to see the power of God in different situations. And just knowing that God does some things, just getting to the place where you know what? It's not me and I can't do it any longer. And I can't do this by my strength. I don't have the capacity to do these things. And just knowing that God is doing some things in your life. I rather glory, he said, in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I remember for a time when we were really struggling, I told my wife we need to just get a budget going and try to measure things correctly. And I never wanted to come back to the States. I wanted to stay down there, and I didn't want to come back and raise support. So it was hard because I raised my support. You know, I went through deputation, and I came to Brother Crawford's church single and suffered the heat of the jokes and all those things that he made me go through. And I told my wife, you know, I raised my support. You should go out and raise your support, you know. Why do I need to come back? You know, I did that. I don't want to go through that anymore. But I never wanted to come back. And so it was hard at first just trying to deal with what I had now. And now we were married and I had just raised a little bit more support. And you know what? We start measuring the food we ate. And you know what? I thank God that I knew every week what I would eat. You know what? One week we said, this week we're just going to eat tuna fish. And that's all we ate, tuna fish. We have coffee in the morning, tuna fish as a strong meal, and coffee at night. And then next week I would say, well, we're just going to have salad. So we'd have salad Monday through Friday. on the weekends, the church, you know, took us out to eat and stuff. So we ate anything we could. And then we'd say, now this week we're going to have soup. And so we would have soup all week. But you know what? God always provided for us. I'll be serious. I never went to bed hungry. God always provided for our needs. And, you know, if we just got to suffer a little bit, you know, we got to see God's glory and God's power in our life, in our ministry. You know, we went down to Querétaro and the cheapest rent where we're at was $700 a month to rent a little place, a small place. And right now a family has lent us their home. That place where you, with the little, it's still outside, it's in a patio, but we're using it, it's free. They won't let us pay a rent, they won't let us pay the utilities or anything. No, I didn't have for that, but God provided a way. God had plans for us. God demonstrated His power in my time of weakness. And God's always been good to us in those ways. I remember times when we wouldn't have any food. We didn't even have the tuna fish, right? And somebody would call and say, why don't you come over? We want to have you guys out for dinner. And we'd go out. Every weekend we got to eat meat. That was a blessing. Every weekend we got to eat out with the church family. They've been good to us. And I thank God that we suffered maybe a little bit, but we got to see God's power in a big way. In a big way. We've been going out to... We have our church there in Querétaro, and we started a mission maybe 7 minutes away where you saw the chairs outside on the dirt. We just show up there. It's called Zapata, and that's where we started the mission. And we just take our chairs from our church, and we move them over there on Saturdays, and we just set up, you know. If people say, you know, is this your area? We're like, yeah. We just set up anywhere. And I don't know whose property that is, but we just set up there. And we put up the chairs and we'll have a little singing service and I'll preach and I'll give a lesson and have verse memorization and do all these things. But it's if you notice, it's very different from where we have our actual church. You know, you have homes over here where we could rent a home for, we would have to rent a home for $700 a month. And then you go out here and they can probably rent one for like $20 a month. And we went out there for the kids' day, Dia del Niño. And it was just a special day. We were going to go out there. It wasn't planned, but I figured Dia del Niño, the kids' day is a time, it's almost like Christmas over there for the kids. It's the kids' day. And they get gifts, they get presents, they get all these little things and candy. And I thought, well, let's go out there. I said, they're probably not going to get anything from their families. Their families are very poor. And I said, let's go out there. And we made these little candy bags for all the kids. And we went out there and we had like 40 kids out there. And before they were showing up, I was getting things ready. And three little kids had already gotten there. And I said, what have you guys done so far on Kids Day? And they're like, oh, nothing yet. We haven't got anything. And one of the little girls said, my mom said that maybe, because she's been trying to raise some money, she said she might, maybe, take me to Burger King. Maybe. And, I thought that was, it got to me, and I started working on some other stuff. And then the boy next to her said, I heard him whisper to her, and he said, do you think that your mom would want to take me too? And she said, my mom can't afford to take us or buy us anything. And the little boy said, your mom doesn't have to buy me anything. He said, I just want to see what it's like in Burger King. And you know what? That's how I feel sometimes in ministry. You know, I may not have a fancy car or have all the money that I want or think I need, and I don't have all these great things. And, you know, we lack a lot of things that we desire, but we have everything that God has given us, and God has been good to us. And I get to the point where I just think, you know what, God, I don't need all these things. I just want to know what it's like to have your power in my life. I just want to feel what it's like to have your presence in our ministry and see people saved and lives changed and a community reach and a city reach like Querétaro that most people don't want to even get near. I just want to see what it's like to have God's power in my life. You know, we've struggled with a lot of things, but I know that God's power is good. And we know that God's power can help us get through all those things and all those difficult times. You know what? I want to see God's power. I want to be a part of God's plan. And I know that He has a plan for my life, for my wife's life. I know that He has a plan for our ministry. And I just thank you guys for investing in us. We appreciate everything you guys do for us. Brother Crawford has always been first class. And he's always been a blessing. And you guys have always been a blessing to us. And, we would love to have you guys visit sometime. I think you would enjoy it. Just get to meet our people, get to visit the mission work that we started there and the ministry to the police officers. And there's just so much going on. And I just pray that I can be in God's plan and that I can feel His power. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for being so good to me, to my family. I pray that you'd bless this church, Lord, and I pray that you'd continue blessing our church in Querétaro. Please use us to do great things for you, Lord. I pray that you bless everyone here, Lord. I ask all these things in Jesus' name.